The title of today's talk is Surprise Success from Failure. We spend a lot of unnecessary worry about being successful at something. And yet, from the very earliest stages of life, excuse me, it's our failures that teach us to move in another direction and be successful at it. It's just like a child who's trying to stand up and can't stand up, or crawl and can't get what he wants because he's going backwards rather than forwards. And they do. It's failure that is an integral part of success. And we, as we get older, forget that. We think that, you know, if we've made a failure, we've made a mess. Rather than when we fail, we try harder and we learn something and we then have a success. And I mean, that's what experimental science is about, isn't it? That's what experimental medicine is about. It's called practicing medicine, practicing the piano, practicing the violin, practicing walking, practicing talking, practicing language learning, practicing everything. Everything is a practice. Airports didn't get to be as big and sprawly and efficient and that sort of thing without failure. Little cramped places, which were easy to navigate, but you know, the plane tips touching each other at the gates wasn't really good. Let's go back and visit Wabi Sabi. Wabi Sabi is a Japanese aesthetic philosophy that finds beauty in imperfection, impermanence, and the natural cycle of growth and decay. It is deeply rooted in the traditional Japanese culture and is often associated with Zen Buddhism. The term can be broken down into two parts. Wabi, referring to the sense of rustic simplicity or understated elegance in emphasis in nature, appreciating simplicity and finding beauty in modest and unpretentious things. Sabi refers to the beauty that comes with aging, such as the patina on a weathered object, or the serenity found in natural wear and impermanence. Together, they, wabi-sabi, reflect the worldview that embraces the imperfection, the incomplete, and the transcendent aspects of life, celebrating authenticity and the natural flow of time. It can be seen in art, design, architecture, and the ways of living. Flaws are learning. Mistakes are learning. And so appreciating the fact that we make mistakes, appreciating the fact that life is about mistakes almost more than learning. Learning is like facto complete. But how did we get to the complete? Through a lot of mistakes. On today's morning, Sunday morning show, they had a segment on a Dr. Dixon Chimbanda, I'll probably mispronounce his name, Chimbanda from Zimbabwe. He was a psychiatrist. And when he was a young psychiatrist, he lost one of his early patients to suicide, a young woman that he apparently couldn't help sufficiently to help prevent her suicide. This set him into a, let's say, quest in life as to what was wrong, how could it be amended, etc. Zimbabwe has millions of people and they have 12 psychiatrists. So he immediately realized, A, number one, that they don't have enough mental health, and that what could he do to improve or change that condition with only 12 psychiatrists. Well, he got contemplating it. And what he realized was there was a natural wisdom in grandmothers. And that grandmothers oftentimes didn't have a lot of work. So he decided to start a program where the grandmothers would sit on outdoor benches and he would train them, but not overtrain them, in methodologies and ways to incorporate natural wisdom with good psychiatric help, but not to appear to be a psychiatrist. Just be grandmothers. And what he did is he set up benches around where the grandmothers, after they were trained, would sit, and there was a placard on the back. In the beginning, the placard was, let's say, off-putting. It was something like psychological help here. Well, you can imagine how many people didn't come to that bench. So they decided to rename the bench Friendship Bay Bench, Friendship Bench. But it wasn't a real classy bench. It was kind of a wabi-sabi bench. And Grandma was kind of wabi-sabi. And they began to have very, very good response to that kind of approach to so many people who were having issues and psychological problems. And that became something that has kind of spread around different countries. And there's a whole raft of places that now use the Friendship Bench as a way of reaching people who would not come normally to get psychological help. Wabi-sabi. Wabi, simplistic, rustic bench, and simplistically dressed grandmothers. Sabi, the appreciation of age and wisdom in age. Wabi-sabi. Interesting that from a doctor in Zimbabwe, the Japanese wabi-sabi was really part of what made the friendship bench work. Well, you need to have your own wabi-sabi bench in your own house where you can actually stop fretting over mistakes and ask what you learned. What have I learned from my mistake? So that you can actually undo stored misinformation. So the things that you think have been, you know, why did I do that? And that wasn't very good, and why, you know, you carry around an angst of having made mistakes. But if you can just sit and think, what are those mistakes that I think I made that keep reappearing from time to time? Or the idea that a mistake is wrong. Is a mistake wrong, or is it some kind of teaching methodology? Let's revisit St. John of the Cross. Development. Once I said to God, "How do you teach us?" And he replied, "If you were playing chess with someone who had infinite power and infinite knowledge and wanted to make you a master of the game, where would all the chess pieces be at every moment? Indeed, not only where he wanted them, but where all were best for your development. And that is every situation of one's life." St. John of the Cross, wabi-sabi. We want things not to be wasted. We want our first attempt to be a success. Of course, we don't want to read the recipe to make the success. We want to experiment. So, experimentation is at the base of all science. And science is at the base of life. Because it is an ongoing experiment as to what works. That's science, isn't it? So getting rid of the fretfulness and the stored self-judgments over mistakes made is useful. Because if you feel you made a mistake and you feel guilty, what are you going to do? You're going to rationalize and you're going to lie to yourself that you made a mistake. It was their fault. It was the traffic that wasn't on the highway that made me late for work. It was the flat tire I needed to change that I didn't. You see, we become pathological liars to ourselves around mistakes or failures. I coulda, shoulda, woulda. But it would be very handy to begin to appreciate the inventory you have and to revisit it with kindness and understanding that God power, master power, made you do it. The devil made me do it. And who's the devil? Oh, God. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Listen to that phrase. Who's the prayer addressed to? God. Lead us not into temptation, God, you ogre. You see, we just, because we can hear that phrase, we don't digest that phrase. We are led into temptation. We are tempted deliberately. If you want somebody trustworthy to handle things, let's say you have a lot of expensive things and you want a house cleaner that won't be tempted. Well, you take someone who has a long record of being tempted and not succumbing. Or someone who won't go behind your back and do something. It's very, very tempting to think we know something about someone and then, let's say, spread the news. Learning to keep your mouth shut is a long trip down the road. And various things will trigger, you know, talking behind somebody's back. And it seems natural, and it is natural to somebody who doesn't have developed wisdom. So Wabi-sabi is a very interesting concept. Reading a very interesting article about taste in decorating or dressing, but in particular in decorating and laying out gardens and that sort of thing. And their insight into it was that people with taste and what you might call a sense that you knew they had taste was that they oftentimes had rugs that were old and frayed, like old, you know, Oriental rugs that were well-worn, furniture that was well-worn, handed down a couple, three generations, kicked and marred and all that sort of stuff. That by seeing it as beautiful for its age and for its originality, that there was something comforting and tasteful in it. Just a simple throw over an old couch. The old couch didn't go away, but the throw with it made it look appreciated. And the old carpet, which was great to start with, had been worn, but had the elegance of aging, because they appreciated the aging process. Ah, you see? There's a whole bunch of stuff that we want, you know, modern, simplistic, blah, 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 blah. And that's okay, that's a style. But it's a different form of taste. And like an old garden, not always totally weeded, an old bench here and a bicycle leaning against an ivy wall there and that sort of thing, has the ability to translate into beautiful, aged beauty without having to be pretentious. So, the idea that everything has to be new or better or, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. We spend a lot of time and money really? Getting the newest and the greatest? Really? So, are old Rembrandts not more valuable than some more modern artwork? And half a portrait finished? Half of it's finished and half of it is just hinted at by sketch lines. How interesting. And the reason I'm saying these things is that people are like portraits they want you to see. And sketch lines that you could see that they don't value. So there's the appreciation behind the facade. To appreciate someone when the facade of their person is kind of a made-up idea of who they want to look like, rather than the simplicity of what they are. Why do royal families have to have such pretension? Because they think it's what people want to see. They have an idea that looking royal makes them royal. And yet, if you go back through the portraits and photography of royalty, when they're out having a picnic on the moor, or they're playing with the children, or they're just simply grooming a horse, is actually a more endearing portrait than the 17 rows of medals and braid and crowns and, you know, that sort of thing. That's all just, you know, toy soldier stuff. What makes a soldier? Not his uniform. And yet, there's so much emphasis on the uniform that you think it's the uniform that makes him the soldier. It's his ability to face danger, follow command, etc., etc. So, life is a trick. And lead me not into temptation really means that temptation is part of learning. Dealing with temptation is part of learning. Dealing with failure is learning. And yet we've got a raft stored away, like the Library of Congress, of mistakes. Yours, your parents, your friends, your enemies. You've got a library of information that's not useful in the sense of judgment bad, as opposed to the interesting wabi-sabi of learning, how we learn, how we learn. So when the kid is crawling down the hall and he can't get to something and he cries, and he learns in the next go-round how to get the something he was after. The desire to reach the intended toy or that sort of thing, rather than stopping and crying halfway down the hall because he couldn't get to it, gives him more impetus to go further. So yes, the chess master has put all the pieces in the perfect place at the perfect time, and we are the recipients of the temptation to do it wrong. in the beginning so we can do it different. So was the wrong not right? Was the wrong not perfect? The commander-in-chief of all creation has a very interesting learning program for every single thing and person. And if we take time to appreciate that, we can pretty much chuck 99% of what we've got stored that we don't like in our brain. The devil made me do it. The devil made everybody do it. But the devil was God. Just another manifestation of helping us learn, because we learn by comparatives. And if this doesn't work, then what? And if that does work, then what? And then if you get lazy and you get it to work, is there not still a better way? I think scientists think so. I think engineers think so. However, there's times when I think an engineer should be forced to use the thing he engineered for a year, 24 hours a day, to see the flaw in his engineering. It's a chess game, folks. And if you enjoy the game, if you enjoy the fact that you're under a competent chess master trying to teach you, instead of, you know, blaming yourself, blaming the neighbor, blaming the plumbing, blaming something, you look to the source and say, you have me here for some reason. What am I to learn? I very seldom read a book straight through. I pick up a book. I say, what page here? I just flip it open. I look at the page and I read maybe a paragraph, maybe a page or two. And then I stop and say, what is it you want me to learn by reading this now? What is it you want me to learn by reading this now? That's all. You could read a whole book through and gain a few interesting tidbits of insight. Or you could read a sentence or a paragraph and get more. A book is oftentimes just an elongation of one or two ideas. And you spend a lot of time reading and forgetting, reading and forgetting, reading and forgetting. I mean, you know, you can't really remember every page you've read in a book, right? And if you come across a concept that is kind of interesting, but you're not looking for an interesting concept, it just kind of goes, whew. It may have, like, stopped at the stop sign, but it just went on through town. Your brain just let it go. Tell me something and I'll forget it. Show me something and I'll remember it. If you want to remember it, or you're asking for insight into it. Master Kripal kept saying, go deep down into this subject. And he meant it. I think he read every library book that was in their college. But one phrase is enough if it has interesting content and you sit with it and ask to penetrate it. Is this valuable? How is it valuable? What is it really referring to? How can it be applied? Da-da. Why rack your brain with just a train load going through of more words? If you're after true insight, it takes time. Your brain doesn't need to be whiplashed around. It needs to have space and openness to receive. Well, my dears, good idea. Friendly bench. A friendly bench that has wabi-sabi information in it.